Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. Transform your home with the warmth of an Irish-made kitchen. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
There's a star.
Still a banger, still as fresh as a daisy. David Bowie's Starman there. How, though, would you like to hear that played by the RTE Concert Orchestra in the Three Arena? That opportunity will arise now on Sunday the 2nd of March when conductor David Brophy brings the songs of Bowie to the stage. David, good morning and very welcome.
Morning, Philip. How are you doing?
How easily does Bowie lend himself to orchestration?
Well, you just listen to it there. I mean, I hear that music and it's, you know, that dates from 1972.
Is it? God.
Which is actually the year I was born, my God help us. And I think if you look at the music directly after that, particularly the Berlin trilogy, which the first two albums were in 1977, Low and Heroes. And I think he moved from this area into what you might call kind of mid-1970s synth work, which I think was influenced by people like Brian Eno and Kraftwerk and things like that. That all sounds immediately orchestral to me, you know. And so, and indeed, the great American composer, minimalist composer, Philip Glass, he took two of the Berlin Trilogy, he took all three albums and he wove symphonies out of them, which I think Dave Bowie was quite pleased about.
Well, then, let me rephrase the question completely differently. What does orchestration add to the music of David Bowie that wasn't already there?
Well, I always think that Bowie, because like he's such a wide-ranging artist and he was an actor as well and he was interested in mime. He starred in film, but he was also on stage. He had a very acclaimed role in The Elephant Man on Broadway. So I always think he's behind all of his music is a sense of drama. And for me, you know, it's still why orchestra is the go-to vehicle for film music nowadays, for a lot of film music nowadays, is because of the drama that an orchestra brings. You get that sound. You stand in front of an orchestra, you sit in front of an orchestra and you hear them just play anything. And the first thing you think of is the dramatic, you know, potentiality in the orchestra. And so I think that orchestra, what the orchestra brings in terms of the drama to the music, an extra bit of theatricality, is I think what makes it all the more special. And I say, as I say anyway, that if you listen to what's going on there in Starman as well, it's the sound palette, the colour in it is so vibrant. And I just think when you put an orchestra behind it, it just lifts it to another space.
You were joined by a number of Bowie collaborators for this, including the Irish guitarist Jerry Leonard, who's the musical director. What was that like working with the people who had worked with Bowie? Were you kind of getting his imprimatur via them?
It's exactly it. You're kind of plugged in to something. I mean, they share the same space as Bowie, and Jerry in particular was very close, I think, to David Bowie.
And if you were making a hash of it, they wouldn't be there.
There's actually a little bit of comfort in it. Because you've said hit the nail on the head. Like if I get something, the tempo's not quite right, or it's a bit on the fast side, or slightly slower, when he takes a bit of time here, Jerry would just give me a look from the guitar, you know. And
not even a shake of the head or
just a look. You say look over. The head turns, and I'm going, oh, what am I doing now? What's happened, you know? And then you go back, and then we would rehearse something, and I say to Jerry, like, what do you think? And he'd say, yeah, it's good. Maybe the bridge here. Maybe you could push a bit, or in the orchestration. And of course, Jerry was actually the orchestration was run by Paul Campbell. I think Jerry was very connected to Paul Campbell all the way through the process of orchestrating them, not just arriving at the end. So
not just Jerry though, drummer Sterling Campbell, guitarist Mark Platy, bassist Gaylan Dorsey. You got the band back together again.
That is the band back together again. You know, they all share the same air, the same space as David Bowie. So it's an absolute privilege. And to combine their talents and their knowledge and expertise of what Bowie was about with the great musicians of the RTE Concert Orchestra. I mean, it's a dream.
Now, of course you'd say this is going to be the answer to this question, but did they all approve? Did they all give a thumbs up?
Who? who gave...
All the collaborationists, all of the people who joined you.
I think so. I mean, they were all there. This doesn't just happen. There's a lot of chasing on this, you know. Okay. And obviously, you would imagine that the David Bowie estate would be very protective of his legacy, and they didn't want to make sure that if something like this is going to happen, it was going to be done well. And I think Jerry was a key part of that. So,
how does that work? I mean, is there a lot of quality control there?
I would say Jerry is a conduit between, you know, those of us who live in orchestra land and those mm-hmm. of us who and those who live in rock pop land. And I think and I think as a kind of a mediator, a go between. Okay.
But I meant as a go between you and the estate of David.
Oh, God,
Bowie.
I don't get involved. No, I'm the fellow with the white stick, Philip. I do a completely different thing altogether. But certainly you would assume that the estate would be very keen on making sure that, you know, in whatever we do, that it respects the legacy of Bowie, and that's what we're all about. And having Jerry there, I think, as a key to that is really important. You do feel like you're in the room with somebody, and Jerry has that presence of, he's a complete legend, you know. So to work with Jerry and to feel you're working with somebody who is connected to Bowie himself is very special.
I'm not sure if you call it in orchestra terms a set list, but give me the songs that you've adapted.
They're all there. I mean, I don't have the set list in front of me here, certainly the songs from Starman you've just heard is there, the hits from Heroes is there, yeah.
China Girl,
we haven't got China Girl, no. We don't.
What do you do?
I know, yeah. Well, you see, there are, I mean, some of the songs I would say, so like actually the 1983 David's probably Bowie's biggest hit, Let's Dance, is not there. So we've kind of gone for songs that were really, that lended themselves to good orchestral arrangements.
Absolute beginners. So. That's absolute virtually beginners. Orchestrated
Exactly.
In October, you started a new role as the chief conductor with the WDR Funkhouse Orchestra in Cologne. How is that going to compare to what you've been doing here? Are they the same kind of orchestra as the RT Concert Orchestra?
They're very, very similar. And I think since I started in Cologne in October, it certainly feels like a home from home. And the orchestra in Cologne exhibit many of the attributes that I found way back many years ago very appealing with the RT Concert Orchestra, which is first and foremost, they're open. So they're not closed to musical ideas.
Definition
of music. Yeah, they occupy a space that my head occupies, which is we're all playing the same 12 notes and there's only two types of music, good music and bad music. And so that's the first thing. Secondly, they have a kind of swagger about them that they enjoy what they do. It's like one of the things that sometimes, you know, you see an orchestra and they're playing really well, they're fantastic, and you kind of go, they don't necessarily look like they're enjoying what they do. But both the concert orchestra and the VDR Funkhouse Orchestra, they both enjoy what they do. And they're the type of things that when I want to work closely with an orchestra, they're the things I want to feel connected with. And so, yeah, Cologne does feel like a home from home, and I'm very happy there.
One of the first Irish people I've ever heard describing anywhere in Germany is home from home. That is kind of interesting. I do love a good German compound noun, and there was one of your new German colleagues came up with a great one for you, which I'm going to murder. Eier leiden de Wollmilchsau. You are affectionately being referred to as an egg-laying wool and milk sow. Bit of an everyman.
That was Christine, who plays in the second violins in the VDR Funkhouse Orchestra, and she was on what they would have probably referred to as a search committee from the orchestra many years ago when the vacancy came up for their chief conductor, and they looked at who would they want for the job. And
But they were looking for a cow that would provide wool and lay eggs at the same time, and they got that new.
Basically, I was trying to understand this Eier legend of Vollmilchsau, this kind of moniker they put on me, and that basically they maintained that was rare as hen's teeth, as we would say here, okay. Really, you know. And they were looking for somebody they felt didn't exist, which is somebody who has a sense of all styles of music, but can make them play like the most ordinary concert in an extraordinary way. And I think they seem to think that they found that person. So the difficulty now is that I have to prove that I am that person. That's what I'm going to do over the next few years.
You kind of are that person, because you haven't, unlike many people who work with orchestras, confined yourself to classical music. You played in the bands. You played several different instruments yourself. I don't mean to say this insultingly, but you are the jack of all trades.
Yeah, I mean, and that term could possibly be used at times in a world where we like specialists, that could be used in a kind of a disparaging way. But I've always spent my life, I mean, I came to classical music quite late. Like I didn't even buy, there was no CDs at the time, bought a cassette of the Four Seasons when I was 17. And that was the first piece of classical music I really fell in love with. And as a teenager, as you say, I was always in rock music, and I played in bands in school, in St. Aidan's in Whitehall. And so, and we would play Battle of the Bands in town, upstairs in the White Horse Inn. I remember very clearly as a 16-year-old playing Battle of the Bands in there. So I was, my teenage years were very much rock music, and then I came to classical music quite late. And but I've never, I think I've always left, I've always made sure, what have I, I've jumped out of all the boxes that people have tried to put me into, you know. And I think, and trad music is a part of it as well, is a very important part of my world. And I love music of all types and all creeds and all beliefs, and it's not going to change. And I'm always looking for, I suppose, the ensemble, the orchestra I can work with, who in many ways think the way I think, and who can box in different arenas.
Let me ask you a political with a small p question. Do the Germans do the arts better than us? That's a long pregnant pause.
The short answer is not necessarily.
Oh,
actually, I think we're lucky that we've got extremely talented musicians in both the RT Concert Orchestra and the National Symphony Orchestra and the Irish Chamber Orchestra, and the orchestral players we have in Ireland are as talented as the players we have in Germany. But I do think.
So you're saying we have a higher concentration of good musicians for a small population in Ireland?
I'm not in Germany long enough to be able to answer that question way, if you've put it like that, to be honest with you. But all I know is that musicians I have in front of me in Germany, the same standard musicians are here. There's no doubt about it. I think people look on orchestral musicians differently in Germany. I mean, it's obvious straight away that they're better paid.
Is that a function of market size, though, that there are just more commercial opportunities?
You could argue that the population of the country, and if you look at, like, obviously you've got more people, you've got more revenue coming in from license fees and various taxation methods and which go to arts funding. But on a political level, there's certainly a sense that these people should be well paid, and the way the budget comes out at the end of the day for those in the arts.
I also have a sense that the Germans are aware of the soft power of things like the Berlin Symphonic Orchestra and the Philharmonic, and the reputation that it carries abroad.
I think that's, you've hit the nail right in the head. That soft power is huge. And when you think of, broadly speaking, you think of tourism, people actually do go to cities and they go to cultural events. Like my brother, I wouldn't call him an orchestral person or an opera guy, but he went to Prague recently and he went to the opera. And we don't necessarily go to the opera in Dublin, you know. And it's a kind of a thing that we see when we go to certain parts of Europe, and generally one of those parts that we do that. And I think that in some ways, if it was seen in Ireland that we could view ourselves as being equal, which we are. I can tell from experience, I work here and I work in Germany, and the musicians are just as good here as they are in Germany. But there's something lacking in terms of how we wear those standards with pride and how they are awarded in the country. And that's kind of missing here.
David Brophy, fascinating as always. Thank you very much. David Brophy and the RTE Concert Orchestra perform songs of David Bowie, the Three Arena, on Sunday, March the 2nd. rte.ie/CO for more on that. Coming up later, Dr. Rosemary Coleman, consultant dermatologist, is going to be here to talk you through acne issues. David Brophy shakes his head and leaves the studio. He doesn't need to listen to that. If you have any questions, you can WhatsApp 0870 32 32 32, text us on 51551, or email todaycb@rte.ie.
Get in touch on WhatsApp 0870 32 32 32.